on behalf of the Board of Trustees, we'd like to welcome everyone to the JTS 1 regular June board meeting. But the board always thanks everyone for taking the time out of their busy summer for attending this meeting in person, via streaming, or listening via 307 on the internet. As always, we have a small audience, but I just always like to put in cell phones, conversations, anything that might interrupt the proceedings of this meeting. Hope you will have some common courtesy towards that. Roll call, we have some board members who will be late, but they were coming, but I know Kristen Ledoux will not be here due to a family gathering in Michigan. Do we have any public comment? Heidi, we do not. And again, we always welcome public comment. I say that for people watching on streaming. That is our time to listen. So we always welcome any and all public comments during our board meetings. At this time, may I have a motion? Do we have any additions to the agenda, first of all? Okay, at this time, do I have a motion to accept the agenda as presented?
So moved. I'll second.
Okay. We have a second. First and second. Any discussion? All those in favor of the agenda as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. All right. We have no video during July and no principal's reports. We will have principal reports, Mr. Oski, during the August meeting.
That is correct. Okay. We'll have the new improved principal's reports with video.
Okay, that'll be great. Okay. So at this time, I'd ask Mr. Oski for the superintendent report.
So just real quick, as we know, we are going to be midway through July, which means school is just around the corner. Been super busy up here with that. Excited about what we've been looking forward to as far as our professional development schedule and the kickoff of the year. We have some pretty cool stuff going, but what I really want to emphasize is the work that this front office has put in trying to get our budget to where it needs to be, and I'll explain that we were changing numbers at noon today because of different numbers that came in, so we still do not have the 100. So in that, what we're presenting to you tonight is based on our best expectations and estimates based on what we do know, but beyond that, people are working super hard from the tech department to facilities to everything that we are trying to do to get ready for kids. So we are we keep getting asked the question. So taking a couple weeks off, and for district level people, there's not a couple weeks off. It's actually pretty intense stuff happening. So, and more importantly, But Dave just explained, we didn't go without rainstorms. but there's been some delays due to the weather we've had over the last several months also. So anyway, with that, unless there's questions from you as a Board of Trustees, I don't have anything other than very grateful for the team that's getting ready for the 23-24 school year.
Any questions for Mr. Austin? Okay, thank you. Our director's report, Ms. Drosky, would you like to go first?
Okay, so we will start with facilities.
Big report. Any questions? John, I've been going around. I know fields are looking great. They're looking awesome. I also want to appreciate Summit Church coming for pulling a bunch of weeds for us. That was kind of nice. They did show up, didn't they?
They did a lot of paint. They painted at Craig's building and at New West.
They didn't pull
weeds. No, we've been doing a lot of. Well, we pull them, we spray them. We've been trying to, it's a huge problem this year, but we're doing the best that we can.
But they helped with some painting?
Yeah, at Craig's building. They painted the 5th Street wing, right, Craig? And then painted at the West, and that's right now.
Okay, thank you.
So, the air handler's in the building. So, had a little bit of hiccup there. Pretty big mistake, but we made it work.
Is that the one at Metal Art?
Yes.
Those things are huge.
Yeah, it's a little bigger than the space it was intended
for. Bigger than the hole, huh?
We made it work. It's okay. In there. I've asked for that to be on, at least by the first of August. So on the boiler project in KC is going great. The leaks have been addressed. Still waiting on a change order. The plugged fan coil that I have in here, last Thursday when I was there, they were able to air test it and get air through it. So it's not plugged. So now it's investigating what else is it, why we can't get plugged through it, or what were the reasons. So we won't have to replace the coil at this point. But we're starting to look at, I visited with Jack with EDA, who presented to you all on the board. We are getting to end of life for the air handlers in KC.
Okay, to what you want to do?
End of life. We're going to be limping them by for the next couple of years. It's going to be a pretty big undertaking, and I'll be reporting on that later. But we got a pretty big undertaking in this.
Did you mention some options about we could kick them on for 2 years and then upgrade, or just start into the upgrade process? Was there choices coming? Did you guys have?
Well, it's all going to depend on budget, and I've asked to sit down Charles and Connie when the budget stuff gets wrapped up, because they've been pretty wrapped up in that, as you all know. But KC has so many issues. We started with the boiler plant because that's where the heating starts. But then if we can't move the air, so now we're going to start looking at. Yes, in a perfect world, I'd like to replace all four of them. If we're going to do it, because I need to do controls at the same time because we have a big system down there. But air handlers alone right now, just rough budget numbers, is $1.2 million. And then the roof, I think we can section that. Maybe get some component funding, get on those component lists. But where that main covers the locker rooms, boiler rooms, that is the worst section. So we're going to have some pretty big planning, and along with that 5-year, 10-year plan that we've been talking about, that's going to be a revolving, things keep popping up. Like in the work session, we talk about John keeps coming in with projects. We just keep, and Charles refers to it, digging up bones. So.
John, what's a freeze pump?
Freeze pump is right below the units. KC has four rooftop units. Right below them in the airspace from the deck to the grid, there's pumps underneath every one of those air handlers. And it's pumping that glycol system up through that coil to prevent freeze-up.
So they kick on when the temperature gets to a certain temperature?
I run them all the time, because if I don't, they start getting gelled up and getting gunk on them. So I've got to keep those pumps moving. And I have two of them that are shot right now.
Yeah, that's what I did.
So when I upgrade those or replace those pumps, I can replace what's there right now. When we go to do the air handlers, we just throw that money away. So when I put the pumps in the ceiling, I want to make sure they're compatible with the new air handlers and new technology.
Yeah, that's great.
There's just a lot of planning and moving parts when it comes to it.
So maybe this is a Charles question and not yours, but it was in your maintenance deal. So we didn't use the ESSER II money to help fund the air handling unit at Metalark. Is that because we're going to take a major maintenance set because we have the money there and we're going to use the ESSER money for other projects?
We did use ESSER II funds. We just didn't use all that we had got approved for. So with the current situation with cash flow, we did cut it off at about $300,000, which we got approved about $200,000, knowing that we have major maintenance funds that will cover that additional piece. But that's part of what we did with a lot of grants, and you'll see as we go through our budget presentation today that we're going to rewrite ESSER II and ESSER III funds to stabilize and kind of get with this revenue flow of being a recapture district. So yes. So we did use some of the ESSER funds. A majority, well, if you want to take $300,000 and divide that out, get your percentage, but that's kind of where we're at. But we also paid out the lease. Our intention is to pay out the lease for our painting robot and do some different things. So some of that money still did go towards that. But yes, with John's major maintenance and knowing that they're going to get another 1.3, is it 1.3, John, or is it 1.3?
Yeah, right there.
$1.3 to $1.4 million in major maintenance this year. That's kind of how we balance the things.
So ESSER II has to be spent, I don't know a better word to use, by this fall, is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
What, when is it? Is September?
So, September, but it has to be drawn down by December.
December, okay, thanks.
It has to be drawn down, but it has to be encumbered or...
Right, yeah.
...processed yet, but
utilized, yeah. Encumbered is a better word. Thank you.
Any other questions for John? Thank you again for all your hard work. Appreciate it.
And John, just so you know, I turned the irrigation off for a while.
Did you?
Yeah, the upstairs stuff, yeah.
So John,
of course, we started cutting hay. It may start back up. Who knows?
Picked up the punch. There you go. I think the only other...
So we have technology here, and then we do have transportation here tonight.
Do we have anything? Busy time for you. How's it working out?
Going pretty well.
Keeping up with everything?
Yeah, thank you.
Getting all those Chromebooks ready to rock and roll?
Yeah.
Good.
Christy, I had a question. What's a new line display?
That's an interactive display we're looking at using to replace this display that clock. It's kind of like a TV, but you can touch it.
On a board or something?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Very good. I hadn't heard of that before.
But Netflix in every classroom.
Just kidding. Do our kids like going to school?
Any other questions for Christy? Christy, thank you for all your hard work that you're doing this summer. I know this is your busy time. Appreciate it. I think that's our only direct report. Am I right?
So we do have transportation. We do have transportation here. If anybody has any questions for Bill.
Bill, so you have your barbecue the 14th, is that correct?
13th. So this Thursday.
What time?
11 to 1. We're going to have a live broadcast. The radio stations are going to be there. We've invited quite a few different people from the community. We're super excited to open house and have all of you come and see what we've been doing and where we're at up there.
We get to drive a bus.
No, but you can tour a bus, and there's a possibility that we could have a ride in a bus. Now, Jan, I know you've never rode in a bus.
I've never been in a bus.
Bill, that was not the right answer. She can get her CDL, and she can come drive for you. I think that's what she's asking.
Yeah, we'll have several different types of buses on display. We're going to have some food, door prizes. Some of our partners that we work with here in the community have graciously donated some door prizes for us. So we're excited about that, and then staff's going to be there. We're even incorporating a little bit of a training, because as you well know, we've got a new software program for our time clock systems, and a lot of our drivers have been off for the summer, so this will be their first time back up at the bus barn. So we're going to have a couple of gals come up and show them how to properly clock in on our new software. So it's going to be a fun day. We look forward to it, and everybody's welcome.
Any questions? Thank you. Mr. Anderson, we're glad to see you here. Thank you for coming. Appreciate that.
All right, Jan, so nothing curriculum and learning report, so let's move to special services. Val?
Something you'd like to... Yeah, I love... You're already ready. You're always ready to highlight, so I appreciate that.
Oh, goodness. I'd say the highlight so far this summer is that our behavior team, so I shouldn't call them that, the C team, mm-hmm. but it has so many more people in it. Our school psychs, all of them, they've all been getting together throughout the summer, including our new teachers already have come in and they've done some training. They're already working on a plan for next year. They want to present to the admin team, and so they're just full speed ahead already. And so I'm grateful that they're willing to put in that extra time.
Thank you.
Val, what is ABLES? What's
that? Oh, I love it. So one of the challenges is that we have wonderful opportunity for high school kids that are high needs, and then there's not much for them. And so a company in Gillette started. She's a teacher. Her child is special needs, and she decided to do more of a transition program. So they learn social skills, they learn job skills, they learn all sorts of different things. She helps them get employed. And then it was two different camps, So depending on a student's ability level, whether or not they could attend both, some of our kids were able to, but they're going to work. She got together with the high school finals rodeo, and they're going to do some jobs for them. And then they've organized kind of a special rodeo, and they get to attend that as well. And so they're just getting started, but they've talked about detail shops and all sorts of different things. And so it's a pretty cool opportunity that we're close enough. And they even come get the kids. They transport them themselves. They have a bus, and they come and pick them all up every day.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So, great opportunity.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Could you tell me a little bit? I saw in the going through the warrants this time, you guys added some Learning Alley audiobook access for qualifying students. So that was a new one on me. Can you tell me what's going on?
So that's actually been a collaboration with myself and the librarian. So a common problem for our kiddos is a lot of them need to read their books along with other students in the classroom. And right now that unfortunately makes some of them stick out. And so we needed to come up with something that had more of an inclusive setting. So right now if a teacher wanted all of the kids to have access, they would have to buy an individual copy for every kid. Where this program, it's set up for students on IEPs, but the entire classroom will have access to it too. So it's a rare day when we can have those the programs that are intended for special needs students, but every kiddo will benefit from it. Yep, for sure. So she won't have to buy so many individual copies because it's going to be access. Every kid will have access.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And is this K-12?
Yeah, it is K-12.
Yeah. Any other questions? Great question.
We're super excited.
Great. Thank you.
You're expensive.
Okay, Madam Chair, this is where we will turn it over to Connie, and she will go through our budget projection, 23-24, and then we will make sure we do a change and talk about the 22-23 budget amendment. So we're going to start out. This is for school year 23-24 budget, which we're going to talk about here first. And this is what we will be having a public hearing on, and you will be voting on as an action.
And as I understand, this is truly hot off the press.
This is truly hot off the press.
It really is. Hi, everybody. I feel like I just spent a lot of time with you. So, everybody, we're going to be looking at this one. So that's the one we're going to be working from. So Charles kind of talked to you a little bit about what's going on today. Spent a lot of time with Tristan on the phone at WDE and just going through our numbers and got some new numbers. Talked to the county assessor today and finally got hopefully a certified. He keeps telling me that he's got the letter, but da-da-da, and he's not in the office this week. So I kind of got the numbers from the county clerk, so hopefully we can go through that. So let's just jump right in for the 2023-2024. Some highlights that we want to go. we've talked about this before. This year they've included the ECA, which is the external cost adjustment, and it's in the model this year, may not be in the model next year. And another thing that you guys are very aware of, they changed the model. So they took the SPED reimbursement out of the foundation guaranteed calculation. Our ADM decreased, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes, but it decreased by about 6 kiddos. And the 3-year rolling average, we lost about 23 on that. Again, we'll talk about leveraging grants. The next thing is the assessed valuation. Remember, they were throwing that $509 million figure out, and it's $510 currently. And again, no insurance increase was added to the model. Of course, we had insurance increases, but there was no increases in the model.
And I'd like to tell the board, if you have questions before we turn every page, let's do it at that time so she doesn't have to come back. And I have a question. I don't understand why the ECA may not be, I thought that they had to do it.
That's what the WEA lawsuit is about, because it's supposed to be in there every, and they vote on it every year, and sometimes they put it in, sometimes they don't. So, and I remember spending some time with Eli Bebout at a meeting, and he was just gleeful. He said, sue us. That's what he said. He said, sue us.
So, and if you go back and look at the history of it, there's been an ECA been given, but it's been a one-time ECA. If you read statute, we're supposed to get an ECA every year that's supposed to build on that. That's not, that has not been typical. That's one of the many sections that we're looking at in the WEA lawsuit is about the Constitution says this. And some of that came back to, well, we had legislative grace. We've been overfunding the model according to the cost effectiveness. I mean, there's a lot of litigation that's a part of that process. But you're absolutely right. The ECA should be given every year, but with that, I can speak to that and say it hasn't necessarily been given every year. So, and sometimes it has been given based on this is a one-year only ECA. So that means that next year wasn't included in the model. So again, as legislation comes back around, it'll be curious to see where it stands with that.
Okay.
So the next page is the first page of the budget message, and it's pretty similar to what I gave you earlier. But the student enrollment, I want to bring that to your attention. So average daily attendance has decreased by 6.498 actual students, resulting in our three-year rolling average decreasing by 23.774 students. The largest classes are in the district are now in the high school, and the smallest are in the elementary. And the student average daily membership, the ADM calculation in the funding model, determines the majority of the school district's funding. So ADM definitely affects funding. The next section I want to talk about is the revenue. Again, the county, the assessed valuation received from the county assessor is $506,709, which represents, I'm sorry. Did I not say that right? Sorry. I have seen so many numbers these last few weeks, it's crazy. Okay, so it's increased 41.5% from last year. And last year, again, we increased by 46%. So it's been a huge number. And then if you'll look down at the bottom of that paragraph, it says, we have yet to receive the final WD-100A report from the Wyoming Department of Education, and our guarantee is still an estimate. Foundation anticipation is increases from $18,640,803 in 2022-23 to approximately estimated $19,268,193 in 2023-24, and that's a difference of $627,391. So that elusive 100, I think we've increased teacher salaries by like $160. And then of course, we have the ECA, which is included in that increase of 627. Because remember, we lost FTE because we lost ADM. So let's say they pay $18,000 an FTE for insurance. Well, our insurance just went down because our FTE went from 194 to 191. So it's just kind of a combination of everything.
If we can ask questions as we go on.
Sure.
So when I kind of hear what's going on, I'm still going to come back and make my comment that I did before about the external cost adjustment. I still think it would be in the district's best interest to give it out as a bonus, because if wage increases are not sustainable, even with what you're saying with the estimated cost adjustment next year, we're kind of in financial straits a bit with cash flow. I'm telling you, an employee will not remember $20 a month or a paycheck, but they will remember the $1,200-$1,300 that they might get in a bonus if you were divided amongst everybody. So that's my piece.
Let's go to the next page. Expenditures, we've increased it by about 1.8% over the prior year's amended budget. So the amended budget, remember, is 23,665 instead of 23,065. And then our new expenditure budget is $24,097,270. And that's an increase of about $40,000. So again, with just playing with more numbers, getting more accurate numbers, that went up just a little bit. And then again, we've talked about how the foundation calculation has changed, and that's we're kind of beating that to the beating it to death. So the next thing I want to talk to you is the actual budget. This looks more like what we put in the paper, with a few little changes. So one of the things, the first thing I did is I said the general fund, right? This year's expenditures is budget is $23,065,000. That does not include the amendment we're about to request here in just a few minutes. But expenses are $24,097,270 for the new budget. So I went ahead and broke those down between general fund, less SPED, and SPED, so you can kind of get an idea. We're trying to move closer to where we always, when we talk about the guarantee, we're talking about that new amount, and then we'll talk about SPED separately. So I wanted just to kind of begin that separation. Special revenue went up a little bit due to some changes I made in grant numbers, and I'll talk to you about that soon. It looks like a major maintenance stayed the same. And I want you to come down to capital projects. So when you guys talked to me before at the work session, you talked about the concern of putting all that money into the budget. So what I did was I changed that a little bit. So capital projects, we have $983,000 instead of the $995,000 that I was projecting. But that's actual cash, and I put that in revenue. And then on the budget, I changed that to $500,000. So that way we're just budgeted $500,000, but we can always look at that revenue and kind of know where we're at. And then I changed the revenue for the special depreciation account. $1.2 million is where we're at as of today in cash, and then we just budgeted for $500,000. If we need to move that around, we'll come back to you when as needed, because he just told you that we have some HVAC and some air handlers in KC. So,
Connie, if I can ask real quick on that, the special purpose, so it shows the 22-23 budget $100,000. What was that used for? Because the depreciation fund is usually a fund that you put money in and hold it until you need it.
Well, we replace equipment, yeah. So when we go over the amended budget, I'll talk to you about what we spent that $121,000 on. But there was some, we bought the heaters and things like that, but we'll go over that in the amended budget.
I guess I kind of want to speak to that. So we've been trying, so the goal is to get about $2.5 million in depreciation reserve. And so when we sat down and had a conversation talking about, you know, being transparent of what we actually have in cash, because you as a board asked, well, where's the money coming from? So what we're trying to do here is to present to you where what there is for funding, but we're actually only going to put a budget line item of $500,000, and if we have to come back, we do an amendment with some of this. You're absolutely right. We need to, on the average, just about 10% of your annual budget needs to be in depreciation reserve, and we need to establish those goals of building forward. But this is more of a transparency, especially with these funds, to understand that $100,000, we don't actually have $500,000 budgeted right now, but there's unanticipated, digging up bones is a word that I use a lot. There are things that come to the table, and you know, there's a process when we expend this, but we're just trying to be as transparent to you as a board of trustees with some of these funds, where our goal is and what that line item is. So.
But also,
didn't we just move $500,000 into the depreciation fund?
Right. That's why it's $1.2 million.
Right.
Yeah. So another thing that talking about the depreciation, as well as that we're going to get that inventory done and we'll have that cost replacement for all our equipment. Then we're going to be looking at what we need to replace on a yearly basis, and that will be coming out of depreciation. So we are going to be using it, but trying to build it up at the same time.
You probably already answered this, but okay, is the $1.2 million, is that after we take the $500,000 out?
That's including the $500,000.
Okay, so actually we're under a million, right?
No. That's cash, right? The $1.2 million is cash.
Right.
And then we're going to plan our budget that we're going to spend $500,000 of that.
So we'll have less than a million left.
So I think
if we spend.
But we're also planning to move $375,000 in from the budget. So,
okay, I got it.
So at the end of the books, the end of June,
okay,
she put that money in before the end of June, so there is $1.269 million in there at the end of the fiscal year.
Okay, got it.
Not quite, but close.
Well, that's what
feels. Yeah. So we expensed it as of June 30th, but it went in the bank the next day. So
okay, thank you.
So any questions about the tiny house will go away next year. You won't see that as a line item, but I have to include it because I have to include the 21-22 actual expenditures, correct? So any questions on that? So that will be, that's pretty much our new budget. That's budget for general fund and all other funds is right here.
So, Connie, do we supplement food service $800,000?
No, not $800,000. No.
Because that's what the expense was in this past school year.
Okay, that's the past school year, that's the budget, so we didn't spend quite that much. So we'll come back and look at that, but that's
so
actual budget.
What do you typically have to add to first?
We moved year before last, in June of 22, we moved $150,000. So that kind of set us up for this past year. And then we had several of those supply chain grants, so we were able to not, all we had to move is about $25,000 in FY23. So, but you'll see on your list that we just cut a $50,000 check to start this year as well. So we'll probably spend all the $150,000 this year on that. But yeah.
Any more questions on this thing? Okay. Thank you,
Brian. Okay. We've talked a little bit about this, but I kind of just wanted to have a slide on it. So in FY24, assessed valuation was $510,856,709, and this is an increase of 41.5% from the 2023. So it increased by $149,856,709 for the year. That's crazy, crazy money. And then last month, you guys voted to intent to levy 1 mil for the rec board and a half a mil for the Bochis, and so. We're coming back with the actual number now. The 1 mil is $510,857, and Bochy's is $255,429. Any questions on that? Okay. So we just want to talk a little bit about revenue. So our estimated foundation guarantee at this moment, which is estimated, right, is $19,268,193. The SPED reimbursement from the last time I showed you went down just a tad, $3,821,313. Again, that's a calculation, an estimate. I have not actually taken out that extra retirement, and I haven't looked through the expenses to make sure they're all allowable. Sometimes that changes a little bit as we go when we put together the 401 for the SPED reimbursement. So the new fiscal year guarantee, again, this is the old way of thinking, but it's $23,089,506. So really, the foundation guarantee on the 100 will be the $19 million, but adding together the way we normally do. So Wyman retirement reimbursement estimate is about $270,000. That hasn't changed. The interest, I changed this a little bit for Dave. We actually received $107,061 in interest We made about 3,500 last year, if you can see the difference. So that's what we actually made this past year. So that's what I used to be conservative. So if you took, I took the April, May, and June, right, and divided it. And if you take that average and multiply by 12 months, it's about $200,000. So give or take $100,000 to $200,000, hopefully the interest rate will stay high.
Excuse me, but is this 107, was that a full 12 months?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was about 35 before, at the end of March.
But
and then
did we sign up in December?
It was March 15th.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we did pretty good
every short amount of time.
Yeah. So, again, we want to talk about a cash carryover estimate is $1.7 million. So that's taking that bank account that I left beside you, subtracting outstanding checks, and subtracting the June 30 check run that you're approving tonight. That left us with $1.7 million to carry over. And then we talked about moving that amount that special revenue owes before June 30th. We didn't get that done, so it's just as a separate line item. So we moved about $1.5 million of it on Friday. Was it Friday, Jan?
Yes.
Yes. And I'll explain a little bit about that in a little bit on that, too. So any questions on revenue? So we just talked about cash carryover, right? And now we're going to talk about cash reserves. They're two different things. And so so this is how we calculate cash reserve, or this is the calculation of cash reserve, not how we calculate. So our guarantee for FY 23 was $21,688,333. They changed the foundation calculation, so we have to subtract that SPED reimbursement out. So that's the SPED reimbursement for FY22. To get a new foundation for FY23 of $18,640,803. So then you will multiply that by your 30% cash reserve that we can keep, and that's $5.5 million. Before, it was $6.6 million. So that's one of those negative consequences that they didn't realize was going to happen when they made this change. So we're anticipating of having a cash reserve of $3.3 million, about 17.9%. So I told you on the slide before that our cash carryover is 1.7, right? But our cash reserve is 3.3. Cash reserve includes cash, but it includes lots of other things, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. So,
any questions? Okay. All right.
So, just kind of trying to define what cash carryover versus cash reserve. So, the cash carryover is the amount of the actual cash in the bank at June 30th. So, we estimated it to be $1,700,000, right? So the anticipated cash reserve is the process of using cash, other assets, and liabilities to calculate the fund balance and then removing any non-spendable and restricted amounts. And this creates the cash reserve. And this is an audited amount, so this is all estimates until Kevin comes and presents the audit to you, and he will show you the actual cash reserve in that audit. So. On the left, when we talk about assets include cash, accounts receivable, retirement outside of the model, that $270,000 we were estimating earlier, prepaids, inventory. The liability includes accounts payable and accrued expenses. You can kind of put those together. I gave a definition of what those two things are, but they're pretty much the same thing. It's something we owe, right? So you take the assets, you subtract those liabilities, and you get the fund balance. And then you take the fund balance, which is equity, okay? But we call it fund balance in fund accounting, right? It's fund balance. Then you're going to subtract that unspendable. So that's prepay and that's inventory. Okay, and then you could subtract the restricted, and so this year they're going to allow us to restrict that $2.9 million we owe back to the state, so that doesn't count against our cash reserves.
So, Connie, in the line of cash carryover, it says, is the amount of actual cash in the bank as of June 30th. So, is that what it should say?
Sorry, yes, and it's cash minus.
It's what you anticipate
yes.
the carryover, not
yes.
the actual cash.
Yes, sorry, yes, yes. But it's actual
cash
in my brain, yes.
Cash carryover is what it should say.
Where should that say that?
See what it says?
Of course, it says actual cash, it just said estimated.
And that doesn't line up with this.
Okay.
So I should have said, Jan, I should have said right here on for the amount of actual cash in bank minus outstanding checks minus the last June 30 check run.
Minus the cash that you, whatever you call it, like the cash, what I want, major maintenance, things like that.
Nope. It's the cash in bank, the top general fund cash in bank, minus any outstanding checks that haven't come through, and then the June 30th check run you're approving tonight. All that makes up that $1.7
million. Okay.
Okay. Any questions on that? Sorry. Okay. So now we're going to talk about the general fund, go back to the general fund, and we're going to divide it into functions. And remember the function, instructional support, general support, and transfers. And I put the definitions on this as well, so you can go back and remind yourself. But remember, instruction is anything they're actually re-instructing the kids. So that's elementary, middle school, high school, activities, SPED, anything that starts with a one, CTE classes, after school or extended day, all that is in the instructions of the salaries, benefits, and operations. So instructional support is going to be nurses, counselors, curriculum, speech therapy, any of those speech pathologists, any of those guys, the psychologists, all of them come out of the 2000s. General support is going to be the board, it's going to be transportation, it's going to be the business office, it's going to be technology, it's going to be facilities, all that, that's kind of a big chunk of it, and that's in general support. And then the transfers are the things that we move, the money we move to food service and depreciation. Those are not loans. They're actually, when you transfer money, you're actually giving that money without expecting it to come back. So if we're poor, like special revenue, so we don't have it, so we have to get reimbursed for any expenses that we make out of special revenue. So sometimes we have to use general fund money to pay for that. And then that's, we have to loan special revenue that money, and then it pays it back. So that's the difference there.
If I can ask, instructional support went down by $34,000. Is that because you hired the C's people and they took some of the positions?
It could have been that.
And so part of instruction is that even though that's reimbursable, the C's program, so is that included in the $711,000 increase?
So, no, the seventh, so. The bulk of the money there really is instruction and general support, right? So instruction is teachers. So we increased because we added all those SPED stuff is in there. And then salaries and benefit, you know, the increase to the base and then the steps and lanes, yeah. But we also tried to make some cuts in there too. So the 700 and 11 does include some cuts, but you just don't see it because of the salaries and benefits are mainly in instruction versus there's not a lot of salaries instructional support. And then the same with transfers, we did a 10% decrease on that. So. Ish. That may have been a little bit less or more than that, but pretty close to that. So the change in the two budgets is $1,032,000. It was $991 when we talked about $991,000 when we talked before, and we just had to add some found some more expenses, and that June 10th check run added up some things to it. So, any questions about this?
I don't know if this is the right place to ask this question.
Sure.
I was not at the last work session in June. Could you give a little clarification on how much the staff raises are and the steps and lanes? So you said that's part of the $711,000.
Yeah.
Then you said earlier about the raise, which is a small raise, like $161,000.
Okay. Yeah. So if we can go quickly to this page right here a little bit. Okay, so the ECA, so steps and lanes is costing us about $194,000, and the increase to the base is costing about $176,000, and that's all functions. I didn't separate those out, so that's
the base.
Increase to the base is about $176,000.
Okay. So, and did we increase the base on everything, or just teachers?
Teachers by $700, and then we increased the classified salary schedule by 50 cents. An hour. So, but we did not increase administrators yet at all. I mean, we did increase them, but we didn't increase the base to them. They got a step, but didn't get up.
Thank you. Oh, I see what you're saying. Thanks. Okay, got it.
Any questions there?
So, I want to come back to this. So, I asked Connie to put this last line in there because you're going to do a budget amendment for this year. So that budget amendment is going to make those figures look different. So I just wanted to be transparent. With the adoption of the budget amendment, which will be after the adoption of the budget, okay, those numbers change, so that's why we put that bottom line.
And another clarification, these are budgets, not actual expenses. So it's looking like we'll come in way below the 23,665. But we made a guesstimate as to what that increase would be, and we just always want to be overly cautious and budget more than what we actually spend. Okay, so this is just the definitions that we talked about earlier, so that's just for your use on that. Okay, we want to talk about grants here, and something didn't come in, so I apologize.
On the sheet of paper.
Okay, it's working on the sheet of paper. So I just want to talk about a few things that I changed on this. So the first one is readjusted the actual June 30th activity in these carryovers. So we spent some money, so I decreased those carryovers according to what we spent on June 30th. And then on 6/11, I didn't have 6/19. I didn't have those correct numbers yet. The grant wasn't open the first time we were going through this, so I trued those up. I trued up ESSER 2 and ESSER 3 a little bit, and then I increased the BILT grant. So we have 3 years of BILT grant. So last year we were awarded $1.2 million. This coming year we're awarded $1.3 million and then another $1 million next year. So again, this is actually how much we can spend on those grants. I added the LED lights grant that John has applied for. So whether he gives it or not, it's already in there, so we don't have to worry about adding it. And then I added the COPS grant, which is the grant that's going to do the bell and intercom system for BHS and Craig's building. Yeah.
So, John, what are the LED lights?
The state of Wyoming has sent me an email through the Wild Light program, just offering a retro of a grant for $25,000 to upgrade our lighting to LED. Didn't cost anything to apply for. 2 pages, I just filled it out. And matter of fact, tonight, right before the meeting, I got an email from them that they want to come do a power assessment.
What's interesting is three or four years ago, they supposedly changed all the lights to LED. Do you remember that? Because I asked the question, what did they do with the old lights?
Mm-hmm.
And they said they took them to the dump. I said, you didn't give them to anybody? You didn't, you know, and so that's interesting. But anyhow, so Connie, the other question I have is on the homeless. the grants. So about $55,000. What do we have that kind of need here?
So it's remember yeah. it's the American Rescue Plan money, those extra funds that we had, and so New West administrative assistant is going to be called this. But she's student success coordinator is the name of it, and part of her job title is going to be the homeless liaison, and so we'll be paying part of her salary with these amounts, and so we'll be able to, and they are have to be spent by September 30th of 2024. So that's what we're going to be spending
it
on.
So when you talk about homeless qualifications, the qualifications isn't just they're not homeless, it's whether they're in the trailer park or...
I remember Steve telling us about that.
So there's all sorts of different... So it's
totally different with what most of us have
just
in mind.
Being not homeless. It's where they're at and what kind of home they're in, or if they're transitioning, if they're living with a relative and not living with their biological. So there's a lot of different qualifications for that.
Can we... oh, my gosh, I'm going blank right now.
That's okay. I've been blank...
That's not what we want to hear.
Well, I know, but it's like I get what she's saying. It's like, oh.
Okay. No, I'm really sorry. I'll bring it.
Okay. We'll come back to it.
Wave you down. We'll get you in there.
Okay. Any other questions?
Wait,
go.
So what's the plan for this person's salaries when that money is spent?
Okay, so we're going to be looking at, so of the grants, you can take a percentage of every grant as an administrative piece, and so she's going to be helping the business office as well with the grants and compiling some information, so we can use part of that to pay for her salary, and also he's applying for the actual McKinney-Vento homeless grant, and we'll be able to spend... So we're going to be pretty creative there. So,
and Joe, you might not have been here, so we're going to do the artificial intelligence to write the grant.
Make sure you put your grammatical errors in there.
Yeah. So they can't tell we're cheating, right? Okay. So some other information, and you know, we've talked about this several times, but the external cost adjustment, these are the percentages that are in the model for professional staff, that's administrators and teachers. The increase is 1.04254, and then the non-professional staff, and that's classified staff, is 1.05377. And I just want to be on the record that our classified staff is very, very professional, and I'm sorry it uses those words. And then the energy, an increase in energy of 1.08935, and supplies with a little bit of an increase as well. And we usually get those two ECAs for supplies and energy, but it just always leaves off the staff piece of it. And so remember, the ECA is calculated using the model FTEs and model salaries, not the Johnson County actual FTEs and base salaries. So the example is the base salary for a teacher in the model is $37,540, and then the base salary for a Johnson School District teacher is $45,300, and again, that's going up to $46,000 after you approve the budget. But and then again, we talked about the EC and the steps and lanes. So again, you know, if remember, they compile everybody's education and everybody's experience, and they kind of throw it in a pot, throw it back out, and they give you an average amount, so that for every teacher, nurse, counselor, librarian, it's that amount. And that's what the ECA is built on, not what we pay them, but what.
We didn't put any money on the base last year, did we?
Or did we have to hear? No. What are the steps and lanes? Like, is there just a whole guideline for all the teachers? If
right.
I hope I do this, then I can get there. Yep. They know everything.
So like a master's, so if you get a master's, you get to move to that master's step. And then if you get is there a master's plus 15?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you get 50, once you complete 15 more credit hours, then you could go to the next lane. And then master's plus 30, and so on and so forth.
We even have a doctorate.
So, Connie, if you could, maybe you could print that and give it to some of the new board members that
sure.
didn't have it.
We have lots of them. And they're on the website under the HR piece. That might be the easiest because they're pretty long. Yeah. But definitely we can print it for you.
No, that's
okay. Does this raise in our base, I know when Mitch did that research for us, he had indicated our base pay was low, but our average pay was higher because our longevity of the staff here.
Correct.
Does this bring the base pay up to more of a...
No.
No, not close.
So that's part of, I mean, I'll come in and I'll speak to this. Yeah, we've got to find a way to balance this because it's not a guarantee every year, but this is also the recruiting tool. This is the starting piece. This is how we're recruiting people. And if we don't start coming closer to that, we're not going to get some of the candidates, those young ones. So it is kind of chipping away at what that looks like. And that's a great question, Joey, to help with that. But my recommendation to you, and I get the one-time bonus type thing, it's up front. But if we don't start having a recruiting tool saying our base is at least competitive or we are moving forward to increase it, and I'm going to be transparent even more. Our classified staff, we need to keep chunking away at that. We are not going to compete with Love's Truck Stop. We're not going to compete with some of these others until we start chunking away and getting our classified staff up to where we need to be. I'm not satisfied with where we're at. But I can't come to you as a board and say, this is where we need to be. I can't get our base to $50,000, look you in the face and say, hey, we can do $50,000 base salary for teachers because that's unsustainable. But to have to compete with $17 an hour, which is coming, to be realistic and have people find homes in our classified staff, we have to start finding a way to do that. But it is, I think it's a good incentive to show to our staff and to our community we're at least taking a step forward to do that in a feasible manner. And as we look at that piece, you know, maybe something will come out of it. Maybe there's a lot of unpredictables that we're looking at. But right now I feel the culture and our district and our employees need to know that we are at least attempting something that's long-term for them. It might not be a lot, but at least we're moving forward with something. Does it take away our challenge of finding that sustainable budget? I don't want to say balanced. I'm going to change my verbiage. Sustainable budget over time and leveraging some grants? Absolutely it does. So.
Hey, Charles, I would like to say that, you know, a lot of the teachers have said, wow, they appreciate the $3,000 being added to their HSA.
Yeah. So. And those are one-time things, but
and that's kind of
and I asked Connie to add some of this stuff. She's been a trooper with me today. Needless to say, there are some misperceptions out there. Everybody thinks that 1.04254 is based on what we give as a salary. It is not even close. Okay, that's why we said it's based on the model salary, which is in for teachers alone. Administrators is a whole different category. Administrator. I mean, some of our classified staff, they might be making, I'm just going to use a rough number, at $17 an hour, but that doesn't mean the model's paying it at $17 an hour. So those things are all things that Connie and I have to go through when we're looking at this process. And there's a big misterm, 100% reimbursable. Okay? There are rules tied to that. Okay? There are rules tied to that. And so it's not necessarily 100% reimbursable. But if it is reimbursable, and those of you that have been on the board know, that's a year down the road. Okay, so you've got to chunk it and budget it and long-term plan it out so you can budget where we're at. Food service and technology are way underfunded. Well, food service isn't funded, so let's just be straight up across the board. Food service is not even funded. So there are some areas that are underfunded as we kind of take a look at what we're doing here. But making a recommendation to you because I know our staff need to see it's at least a small step forward. The HSAs are a great thing, but that's a one-time with right. COVID funds. And we're going to talk about a lot of steps that have to take place after tonight. But I appreciate you guys entertaining what we're recommending to you as a board tonight.
Charles, in education, does anybody do sign-on bonuses?
What's that?
In
large districts?
A lot of districts do. Is it
large?
Oh, okay, large. Sorry.
Yeah.
Even as bus drivers, if you could do a sign-on bonus and you have to work for a year, just, you know, you try to be creative. And
I know that
I know somebody's going to come back and say it's not equitable. Well, There's a lot of professional people that do it, though.
Absolutely. But there's a culture thing with that, too. You have somebody who's been working here for 7 or 8 years, and you give them a new person a $7,000 bonus, just an example, because, well, I heard of a $25,000 bonus.
A little more than I thought.
25 grand. But even in that, I want to go back when I first got here. The fact is we had some people that had a $1.50 raise, and somebody had a 10-cent raise who had been here for 5 or 6 years, there were people ready to walk out. Okay, just the fact is our new salary schedule right now, people go, well, I'm going to quit and then you rehire me. Well, I can't guarantee I'm going to rehire you. So when you give bonuses, you have to remember there are other people that it's a value thing. Absolutely, special ed is one that comes right across the board that there are some huge signing bonuses for some different people. But in a large district, they can offer those bonuses because they have a $100 million budget and they're talking about a key person, not 100 key people in that. But if we were to able to offer those, okay, anything other than special ed and transportation, it has to be defendable. You're absolutely right. We have to have a contract. It has to guarantee they're going to work and some different things. But it's also a culture thing because our food service gals, they need to be recruited too. So I know there's some equity piece in that, but finding that balance and that culture thing is kind of a balance here. And if we can get to that point, I would be all in favor of it if it wasn't going to destroy some different culture pieces.
I'm just curious, because then hospitals do that all the time. I don't care if it's RNs or whatever it is. They'll hire $5,000-$10,000 higher on bonus, and I don't know what the other employees think.
Natrona County does that. They have higher on bonuses. But the position has to be open for so many years, and then they will, can offer something else.
There are some speech services right now that are putting people over the barrel with an extraordinary amount of money. So virtual services are putting school districts in a bind, especially with special ed. Because they can provide services and charge an extraordinary amount of money. Your speech pathologists and some of these other specialists that can do some things. So, unfortunately, that's tied to federal requirements.
Yeah. One more question.
No.
Well, this is not really on to that. I just want to know, because I know we are going to be looking for bus drivers, what does the base pay increase to now for bus drivers?
So we're currently at $17.92 base. So with the approved budget, then would be 50 cents more, would be the base. So when we look at that, I look at Campbell County. Craig just told me they were recruiting at $18.90 for their base, but they also have a signing bonus because they're a larger district. Probably the one thing that, and this probably goes against where we're at as far as not needing bus drivers, but the way it was explained to me by Connie and Charles, we were able to, when we look at our steps over the 15-year step program for our, we have a really lucrative step program if we're able to implement those steps compared to other districts. They have a smaller step program, so that's something to look into as well.
And we gave you that information a couple months ago.
And that's a good piece for new board members. So instead of a 40-cent raise, we base it on a percentage. So the longer you're here, the more the raise is. So in some cases, you know, you have your 10-year veteran that's not getting a 40-cent raise like your first year. They're going to get they've been here 15 years. Now, when we get to that sustainable budget, and I want to repeat the word sustainable, we might increase it from 15 steps or 15 years to 20 years and be able to increment and kind of progress that to keep longevity-wise. We have it. It hasn't been developed yet, but another thing that we can do all the training in the world, and then they go out there and make 27 to 30 bucks an hour driving because we do all the training. So we want to be able to add that 30 hours, which includes benefits, which I honestly feel our benefit package is probably better than most as we look at that and sustainability for that and start recruiting some of those things. But, you know, down the road, I would like to be able to come to you as a board and be able to say, after we do some administrator salary schedules, after we kind of start working on that process, because I firmly believe in knocking on wood, next year's not going to be filled with so many legal events as we move through the world. We can start doing some different things, and then maybe we start looking at the numbers of years or the numbers of steps, and do that, not only recruit piece, but there's that other word on the other end, is retain, recruit and retain. And I'm hoping that we can be one of those districts. You know what? A seven-year teacher in another district has maxed out already, and we've surpassed them, so now we can start recruiting veteran teachers because our salary schedule's there, too. So it's kind of trying to find some of that balance. Love's Truck Stop is going to be the hardest one to compete with classified staff coming up, if and when that project gets off the ground. Did that answer your question?
Any other questions?
Any more questions? Connie, are you continuing on, or are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I just want to talk about a little bit about the progress toward a sustainable budget. So as you can see, last year we were $1.3 million difference between the guarantee and our budget, and this year it's $811,000. So, you know, it's less than half, but we're making progress. So we want to kind of talk about what that anticipated revenue that we talked about earlier.
So, Connie, with that, I just want to footnote. So I had her put this in here because you had a great question. Where's the money coming from? Mm-hmm. So you had that great question. So we're going to divide this out to show you when we're talking about how we're leveraging funds and what we're trying to do and what that looks like. Because one of the things we have not talked about is that recapture payment, which, if you've read the paper, is still real. So hopefully some good questions can be asked on this next little slide. Okay.
So, again, we talked about that $27 million from earlier on another slide. And so we take our total budget amount and we subtract that. That's the estimated difference. That's what we have left after we spend this budget, right? So the recapture payment is $2.9 million. And then the estimated tax shortfall, or the refund that we get back, because remember, I estimated that we would get more money than we got from the county, so they have to true up that guarantee, right? And it's about $1 million. 2 days ago, it was $1.7 million. So it just keeps changing. So I'm just really anxious to get that final 100, and we can really actually have that amount. So
be honest, Connie. Connie was upset with me because I made her put this number in. So
no, I wasn't upset.
The number is so volatile with movement that we're going to go on the low end of what that looks like. But hopefully you as a board and the community and stakeholders can see that 2.9, that's why there's an illusion in there, because there's a shortfall coming back, potential shortfall. And so we're just trying to be as transparent. And that's a key number for us as we look at developing a repayment schedule of the 2.9. Okay.
So cash available for budget support is $1.1 million. And so we're saying that we're having a shortfall of $811 million. That leaves us with about $374,000 to play with. So one of the things that this is where I want to really talk about what we're doing with ESSER 2 and ESSER 3 and some of the changes that we've made. So part of that grant is that you can use funds, or use expenses and create funds to help continue operations at the same level, right? So we had some pretty big increases with insurance, health insurance. We had about a $32,000 increase in just property insurance. Utilities have gone up by about 20% since 2020, and some things like that. So we're in the process of getting permission to use, and remember, it all has to tie back to COVID, these expenses, right? So in 2020-21, in the middle of COVID, right, we're going to use those teacher salaries, and we're going to request to be reimbursed for the 2020-21 teacher salaries. Because remember, ESSER can go all the way back to March of 2020, right? And so those expenses are COVID-related. were having a hard time keeping teachers. We had all kinds of crazy things going on, so we feel pretty confident that those can be used that. So we've already spent that money, right? And so all that money is coming into the general fund. So we're looking at about $1 million from between ESSER 2 and ESSER 3 to be able to put in our general fund pot, and that would increase that $374,000. So that's the plan.
When will we know?
Hopefully in the next few, maybe a couple of weeks. They have lost staff like crazy at WDE, and so they're really, really behind in getting amendments approved. So.
Did you tell us August 12th is the date that they're finalized?
No, August 12th is my reporting.
Your report.
Yeah, so that's the 100 and the 401 and all that stuff that I have to do, the 601, which is all due then.
But that's all, if you think they'll accept that.
According to Bonnie and Monica from Brunstein, they have all the documentation there that it is an approval.
They are helping us write this.
Okay.
So can I add to this, just so you know there's a cushion there, because these numbers kind of vary a little bit. But if you go back to the second page of the budget.
The what?
The budget message. Sorry, Bill. So right there it says, second page, which would be transfers. Right there, we do have that last sentence under transfers. If necessary, all or part of this $375,000 may be used for budget contingencies. So in that process, there is some potential that money that was expected to go to depreciation reserve also falls into this kind of how we are coming to you and saying we're going to be okay, all right?
And also, there, you know, we didn't budget just to the penny of what we think
yes.
our expenses are, so we have
that
a little bit of a difference.
We have to expend
$24 million, right?
Yeah. Spend.
Okay. Oh no, didn't come up. So the next steps, we just kind of wanted to tell you that our job is not anywhere close to being over, trying to get this this year up and going. So one of the challenges is, we have two systems, we're working in two accounting systems, and to take what I, you know, the account numbers and visions and the account numbers and Skyward are not the same, so it's going to be a hand entering of this budget. So that's one of the big challenges. We have to update all the contracts in Skyward. We're not quite to the point where we can just roll contracts over. We're still in the process of trying to get all that information into what they call employment management. So we're having to do all those by hand. And the grants, again, we talked about this. So we're amending that ESSER 2 and 3. I've already got that process started. We're just waiting for for ESSER 2. That amendment is in. And I've got the paperwork for both of them because I asked her to read the paperwork and the documentation for ESSER 2 and ESSER 3 because we're asking the same thing for those two grants. And then recapture sustainability. We're going to ask you to pay teachers over 12 months instead of paying three payments in June so that we can kind of spread those expenses out. Then we'll maybe talk about, you know, if somebody terminates or somebody retires, maybe we stop paying for their insurance in May and not paying it all the way to August. So there's just some things that we have some ideas on.
So I know we've talked about this, but this is where I want to key in right here. This is where we start having the hard conversation in the fall about needs versus wants. This is what we start having with the new budget, our actual expenditures and what we're looking at. This is where we start having that conversation about revenues. Just because we have a budget of, and it looks like we have $27 million in revenue, we don't have $27 million in the bank. So it's based on our monthly income and budgeting out appropriately with where we're at. So this is where I emphasize, just because we say we have a budget, just because I told you have $4 million to spend, he might not be able to spend it right now because we haven't got all the revenues because we have to distribute that. So that's a message that we're going to start preaching across. Just because we say we have it doesn't mean we have it in our account to be spending it. So in this process of what we're talking about, we have a plan. And I want to reassure you as a board, we have a plan as we move forward. But when we approve this tonight, there's a misperception. There's $27 million in the bank and we can spend it any way we want. We're going to have to really do our due diligence to make sure that we plan accordingly, we spend as we're accordingly, and we make sure the revenues are coming in. There's a strong possibility that we'll get more revenues than we're projected here today, and that we'll have another repayment next year. But we're going to put that money in a place where it gains interest, or we can do some things, we can recapture that. But in the meantime, we have some short-term things that we need to take care of as we're moving forward with this plan. It also means that part of the month of June is a huge expenditure for us with salaries and benefits. So we've got to balance that. So by going to 12 months doesn't mean we want to take away, but in fairness to teachers, and we'll start having that conversation, is do you want to check the bounces or do you want to check the pass in the bank? So we're going to start having that conversation. They need to start financially planning because a lot of people have been used to that large check and planning on summer activities or summer plans so that they can professionally start maybe budgeting for that large sum check as we kind of come through. That insurance piece of when you're, it's been a benefit, but it's probably a benefit we might not be able to offer, is we continue with their insurance until September. So when you're a done employee, you're over and kind of start operating business in that form or fashion as we move forward. So over the next couple months, we'll be giving you some recommendations, or at least in keeping you informed as a board of what these recapture sustainability protocols might be as we kind of move forward. Okay? Is that fair? Travis.
So a little bit about state reporting. We've talked to Trent about the possibility of, not the possibility, that we're going to put together that payment plan. And so one of the things he told us is that he can give us our tax shortfall early, if I can get the 100 in early. And so we'll be trying to do that. We'll try to get that done as quickly as possible. And then that will put us in the position where we can actually get that tax shortfall or that refund quicker, and that we can apply for the recapture loan that we can possibly get to make sure our cash flow is.
That doesn't make common sense. We're going to give money, and then we're going to get money back. But we got to get. Is it for bookkeeping reasons that
Because of state statute.
Okay.
Yeah. Because they only true up the year. The ending year in the next cycle. Yeah.
There is, and so Connie helped me with that too. She goes, Charles, we voiced down my first letter to the state because I was pretty set on this, but it is state statute. They're going to work with this, and these are just part of the rules that we have to follow. So that's kind of where we're at.
And then we'll then for the recapture plan, we talked a little bit about that. We'll work closely with the WDE. And then
does everybody know what a recapture loan is?
No, or do you remember?
Because we are a recapture district, we now qualify for a zero interest loan. Is it 10%?
I think it's 15%.
15%. But anyway, it's a percentage of what your guarantee is that you can apply for. They'll give you that operating expense to manage, but then you have to pay it back. There's payback periods that have to go through that. So in order to make sure we have monthly revenue, that part of our goal is downloading ESSER funds and getting this loan approved so that we can meet, because we really don't know what our monthly revenues from local revenues will look like with taxes being paid. So we're going to get a loan, which is what most all recapture districts do. So this is common protocol. This isn't because we're in really bad shape. I'm going to say we're at risk, but I don't want to point at, hey, we're going out to get a loan. This is common practice for any district that is a recapture district. So that's why this system is in place. So that's why we're going to go after it. We're going to follow typical protocol of what recapture districts do and apply for this loan so that we can make sure our revenue flow is met monthly. Okay.
And we'll keep that in a place and just use it as we need it, and then hopefully by the time it's time to pay it back, it's all still there.
Okay, recapture payment plan.
Kind of already walked through that. We're just going to work with Trent, and they are very willing to work with us. So, and we'll just get together with that that loan and go with
that.
Did
you make your first payment last month?
Yeah, $250,000. Yeah. Okay. Oh, here they are. I thought I turned all this off. Sorry.
So, I want to summarize something. You just seen 8 things there on that page, and that's only, we still got a couple more we could have added. It's kind of an ongoing joke. Hey, how's your summer? You guys had a couple weeks off in the front office. And I'm going to be as transparent as I can. The front, it was pretty stressful here today. That's just getting to this point. The anxiety is I want everybody to come back tomorrow because I have 8 more steps. We're going to take what we've been dealing with for the last 3 or 4 weeks and take it times 4. We've got a lot of work in front of us as a district office and the business team. And so my gratitude and attitude towards what they're doing here today from everybody at the district level. I've missed some things. Connie's missed some things because we're trying to find numbers and we're trying to do. We do not want to be in this spot again. But the conversation about saying, oh, you passed the budget, it's easy. We just actually, with your approval tonight and blessings with the budget, it now ramps up. Okay? And so stress levels and anxiety might be a little higher, but give us some grace as we move through. But special thanks to everybody that's put in some time, because there still are some unknowns, but hopefully tonight what we presented to you is at least enough a security blanket to know it is achievable, all right, with revenues. Dave, you've asked some great questions, because I got to be honest with you, I think we're going to make more interest than we projected, all right? I'm going to still look at you and say I'd rather come to you with a positive.
Yeah, and I think suggestions for you.
So the negative as we move forward with some of those things, but again, these are projections, and we really cannot sit down and have a hard conversation about what we can and can't do until we get this 100 officially done, and we negotiate our plan with the state, how we do repayment, and as we do this journey, and the key word, as I want to say, is a journey. As we move into the system. So I appreciate you guys' time tonight. I think there's some, a lot of great questions. And just for the sake of time, Madam Chair, let's quickly go through the budget amendment, and then if you as a board have more questions, when we get to the action item, we can.
Okay. So we're on this one, and it's exactly what I presented before. I didn't make any changes. So if you look on that next page, this page, here's where we're changing the budget. We're adding $600,000 to that amendment, and it looks like it's going to be closer to really the expenses are going to be about $200,000 over budget. And remember, we've got about $500,000 we added to SPED, so that's awesome. That means, you know, $300,000 we left on the table, right? And then major maintenance, we just added to make sure we cover all those expenses. And, of course, you know all the things that we've been doing in major maintenance, so it's crazy. And then capital construction, we increased to $25,000. And then special purpose, we increased to $125,000 for another $25,000 for an increase of an amendment of $1,271,953. And again, we didn't spend this much, but this, we're just kind of putting that cushion in to make sure that we are not spending more than we budgeted. And Casey, I am so sorry. I've been focused right there, and I haven't looked at you at all. I am so sorry.
You're fine.
Okay, so if you go to the next page, this kind of gives you the reason why we increased what we did. So general fund, of course, remember the SPED salaries and benefits and some of the budgeting things that we just missed when we rolled that budget over, and then, of course, the increase in utilities a little bit. major maintenance, really more projects than what we planned at the beginning of the year. And the capital projects, we did the heaters at KC, and we did some teachers repair, because that's it's really about the construction piece. Depreciation, we did the Verkada cameras. We bought a baritone saxophone for $6,000. Do y'all remember that one? Switches, we bought a freezer, and then we bought the trailer for the turf tank. And I think the turf tank has a new name, if I remember correctly. So those are the reasons why we're moving that amendment to be a little bit more than it was. Then if you go to the next page, this kind of breaks it down by function. Again, that makes sense that we increased the 1,000 by 311. That's where the majority of this Fed is. The 2,000 is 88,000. Again, a lot of, you know, not as much Fed as in instruction, but quite a bit in the 2,000. And then we increased the 3,000 by 200,000. Some of that was that legal fee that we paid that we didn't budget for. So, and so the totals of a total of $600,000. And we did not change the budget amount for transfers, but I did switch it up a little bit. So, and again, this is budget. So we did $500,000 to depreciation and then $96,000 to the food service. Remember, we only paid $25,000 to food service, so we're leaving some on the table. And then we did actually move the full $500,000 to depreciation.
Just to put it in simple terms for me again, we have this money, correct?
Cool.
In that area. We just didn't use all of it, so we're taking more out of that area, correct?
Okay. So this is general fund. So you're talking. So let's go back to this page. So the major maintenance, capital construction,
okay,
depreciation, those we had the money for.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. General fund is that
we have to take it from the general fund. Okay.
Right. Okay.
Got it. Thank you.
And so that is in all of it in a nutshell. So a couple of things I do want to bring up. Jan spent some time with me on Friday. So we got a call from the Bank of Buffalo, and we had too much money in the bank. Isn't that a horrible problem to have? So they have a pledge limit of $4.75 million, and we had $5.5 million. So major maintenance and special revenue sit in that bank. And so we just... July 1st, we got a major maintenance payment, our first quarter of $377,000, and then I had drawn down quite a bit of cash for special revenue, so it kind of all hit at the same time. And so that will be a finding on the audit because we didn't have it all collateralized on June 30th. So I moved that money. We moved it to the Wyoming Government Investment Fund. We moved $1.5 million into general fund in Wyoming Government Investment Fund, and then we created a new major maintenance account, and we moved $1.4 million into WGIF as well, and they're paying about 5.05% in interest, and that is very liquid. It doesn't, I mean, it's very easy to transfer it back into wherever we need it to be, but we dropped that down because we're going to get another big payment when I do my cash drawdowns for June 30th.
And no penalties on that interest for early withdrawals?
No, because it's all liquid. It's not in a CD or anything.
If you put it in a CD,
it would be good. And we've looked at that too. A 180-day CD is at 5.56 right now, but we just need to feel more comfortable with our cash flow before we kind of...
But those accounts that we're talking about still have the same total amount that are there. We just can't keep it in a bank that's not insured.
Yeah. And so First Northern, you could open another account there because their limits are much higher.
But they don't pay as good
interest.
Which is 4.75? So First Northern's paying us 3.75, and then Widget is paying 5.05%. So we thought we'd take advantage of that for a little while.
Any more questions for Connie? Connie, on behalf of the board, we'd like to thank you for all your hard work.
Thank you.
Please let the office people know how much we appreciate the hours and hours. Like I said, I've gone by here on several evenings and weekends and nights, and there are cars here.
So. Well, so we decided to give those HSA incentives. We did not know we were opening the can of Pandora. I mean, the Pandora's box. It has been a pretty huge nightmare. So she's still working on that, and that payment should go out in this pay period in July. But it's been a lot of work for her, and I just hope she doesn't leave me.
Talking, if you could elaborate, what are the problems?
So if you already had an HSA, right? Then you have to figure out how much you can put in. If you've already put in a lot, then we can only put in the amount that's left, and then the rest of it will be put in January. That was one issue. And then some of them have already paid too much, you know. So they've already, and then their HSA, well, that'll work, but then they have to change how much they're putting in. So that was a calculation. And then some people have... they're on their spouse's insurance, which is in a high deductible health plan, so they can't even get an HSA because they don't qualify, because you have to have all. So it's just been one crazy step, you know, and it's been a pretty. So if y'all ever said, when y'all see Bronwyn, give her a hug, give her a high five. She's been working like, yeah. So it's been awesome. Okay.
Take a breath.
Most of it's a good problem to have.
Yes, it's
all. It's all individualized. So.
All right, we will move on to the rec board report.
So last meeting I went prepared to spend all night there digging out all of the, you know, going through that, but they did not choose to do that, and they wanted to wait until we totally said yes to this budget, and then so tomorrow. Know more about what the next year will look like. So it was very short. I think there was one, the fairgrounds bleachers, finally. So that was a big process, apparently, for them. And they were canceled and couldn't get the bleachers, but they finally found their bleachers. So that was the one payment that was given grant for the year before. And I was prepared tonight. I did bring that sheet that Jack Tarter gave us, or me, if anyone wants to look at the funds that have been spent since 2008. And I thought Randy would be here. I was ready for him, but
that's all. OCs, just like us, they've spent spent most of the time talking about salaries. So that's a big report for there.
Bochies, we have not had a meeting.
Okay. For time's sake, we've all read through leadership governance, and I'm going to just kind of keep going through this because we're going to, like I told you, is it going to be September or August?
You talked about September.
September, that we are going to start doing our leadership governance a little bit different. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on that tonight. The 2.2 is about policy. I commend our policy committee that we have, and anybody is welcome. We have room for two more board members to be on that if they so choose. It is a good committee. Beyond, Maggie Lambert runs it, and very efficient. It's 1 hour, and we are finished.
There's already three board members.
There are three?
Yes.
Well, only two ever show, so I...
Well, sometimes people can't come.
Okay. Sorry, so we have room.
That's why we have one more. That's right. That's one more.
You have to read that are on it, right?
We do.
My fault. Thank you. Who knows? So, I'm going to go on, if you don't mind, and let's head on down to our consent agenda for right now. May I have a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented? So, may I have a second, please?
Well, second.
Discussion. No discussion. All those in favor of the consent agenda as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Consent agenda is approved. All right, by legal, we are now going to enter into a public hearing. I would ask the board to hold their comments until we get to the action items, but we will go into a public hearing for the budget. May I have a motion to enter into a public budget hearing?
So moved.
Second, please.
Nope.
Any discussion? Again, I ask for us to hold our comments. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Do we have any public comment? And I would like to really stress to people who are watching, all of our work sessions are open to the public. We welcome you. The only thing that we don't do during a work session is take public comment. We don't vote, but it is a regular, we have an agenda, we follow it. So any and all people are always welcome to our work sessions. No public comment? All right, so may I have a motion to enter, to exit the budget hearing and re-enter into regular board meeting?
So moved.
Second.
No discussion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, we are now back into our regular board meeting. And here we go. This is our biggie. May I have a motion to approve the JCSD 1 proposed budget for the 2023-24 fiscal year as presented? Second, please.
Second.
Discussion.
Who moved that second?
No discussion. All those in favor of to approve the JCSD 1 proposed budget for the 2023-24 fiscal year, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The budget has been approved. May I have a motion to approve the 2023 budget amendment?
So moved.
May I have a second, please?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor of approving the motion to approve the 2023 budget amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion is approved. So we now have our budget and we also have our amendment. The next one. We're going to go through this. Mr. Oski, when we get to the discussion part, would you please kind of...
I've already pre...
Okay, we have a motion to approve the WDE assurance document. Would be the WDE LEA assurance document.
So moved.
And second, please.
Second.
Mr. Oski, would you kind of...
Okay, so this was part of a discussion we had, and my misinterpretation, I used the word policy when it should be assurances. But I've asked Val to kind of speak to what we're doing. A lot of this has to do with the findings at the state level. So Val, I'm going to turn this over to you and talk a little bit about this. Okay.
It, believe it or not, is something that we sign every year. But this is the first year that they've asked that it be board approved. Normally it was something that I signed when I turned in the grant. This does a couple of things for us. They have just opened the grant, and so after we sign these assurances saying that we are going to follow the essentially the laws and their policies and statutes, that we can spend money as of this assurance date, not necessarily when the grant is officially funded. Because normally it's approved, August, September, but it'll allow us to spend as of July 1st. It's not anything new as far as how it's written. It's just been a new thing that they've had the board's approval.
So now you said you do this every year, right?
Yes.
This is just protocol.
Mm-hmm.
Just paper. Okay.
Okay. Yes, protocol. But as I explained to you, Dave, there's a real big hesitation. She checkmarks it. I checkmark it.
Mm-hmm.
there's several people that all we're trying to do here is be transparent with you as a board. So when you hear me talk about cables attached to federal grants, these are some of the cables. These are the federal rules. We can't change them. We can't tweak them. We can't fit to be. But what we are assuring all of our stakeholders and the federal government is these are the assurances that we will abide by with the funds that are being given to us. And so when we say this, there's an approval process. So especially with Val and her team. So when we spend money, they have to go, what I call it, a pre-audit. So they have to get pre-approved, and these funds have to fall into that. So when people say, well, we used to do that, well, Val's coming back saying no, because it doesn't fall under IDEA rules and assurances, which a lot of districts are finding out that these are rules that they should have been following in order to expend money. So she has to double check to make sure when somebody requests something in special ed, it falls under these assurances as we move forward. And then she has a friend at the state that does the same for her that says, no, that really doesn't fall under that. So these are just assurances that we're saying. So you as a board tonight are just recognizing the fact there are assurances with federal grants. She will check them off, put a check box, then she will send it to me, then I will check box it and say it moves on, and the state looks at it, and then they say yes or no, and then that's kind of the process, okay?
So if we approve this, do we each sign this ID, or how do we do this?
Is this the appropriation?
Yes.
Well, you each sign one document.
You will just sign the one. Okay, right. Gotcha.
Yeah. But this appropriations is completely separate
from
what we're talking about.
Okay, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. All you're saying is you're recognizing that there are assurances, you recognize that as a board, and that's what you're voting on here tonight with a little signature line that says we presented assurances to you to understand there's assurances.
All right. All those in favor, any other questions? Sorry. Getting ahead of myself here. All those in favor of approving the WDE LEA assurances signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. It is approved. Okay, other business from the board. This week, Mr. Oski has asked me, if you go through the evaluation, July is the month that we negotiate Mr. Oski's contract. And he has asked me to inform the board that he would like for his contract to remain the same for the following year. And he's the whole contract, and he's requesting no changes be made to his contract, including salary. I see a smirky smile.
Seems there was a lot of inflation. A lot of prices have gone up lately, and I'm not real comfortable without making some kind of an adjustment. I will defer to your request.
I'm not happy either, but I will go with Mr. Oski's wishes. Any other comments?
So I appreciate that. I don't think my journey's over, and my recognition is by you allowing me to have a two-year contract to continue my work in Johnson County School District. So that's where I'm at. I know classified staff. I know there are people, and doing my part, but I appreciate the comments here today. A lot of people are working hard. I don't want to violate a policy or a superintendent that says a superintendent's contract negotiation takes place in July. We still have a budget to where we need to do. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to continue for two more years. So I appreciate your comments, but I'm grateful for the opportunity, and we'll make it work. So that's where it's at, and I think it's a last-minute thing for the public to say, oh, all of a sudden we're doing a contract negotiation. You see where the budget's at, so I appreciate your words, but I am just grateful for the opportunity and the fact is you gave me a two-year contract. So,
okay, any other comments? Well, thank you, Mr. Oski. Now, this doesn't mean we can't look at it again next week, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. AI Committee, Mr. Oski.
All right, so the AI committee presented to you at the work session, and I would like to know who would be the two board members that would like to sit on an AI committee or phone cell phone committee potentially as we move forward. I don't want their time and efforts to be wasted, but I just want to reiterate, whatever the schools are doing, our job is a student handbook, whether cell phones, what we're doing with AI. I think they presented some common ground of where they're headed. I don't want to create policy just for creating policy. You need to have stakeholders. You need to have everybody involved. So if we're going to do this fair and we're going to talk about policy, the committee needs to make a recommendation to the policy committee. It needs to be reviewed, so there needs to be a process. So if there's anybody interested, Heidi can write them down. But is there anybody from this group that would be interested in sitting on an informational artificial intelligence committee? Because this is not going away, as Dave said. It's going to be writing things for us in the future, right?
So how often are they going to meet, Charles?
Not sure yet. I just need to get some people gathered and start having that conversation with that committee.
Tricky. Tricking us into this one.
Do we have anybody interested?
All right. Whoever wants to, but yeah.
Do you want two or three?
I think two would be great.
You guys want?
You can do it. You probably have more time than I have.
Okay, so we have our two names?
Yeah, Lynette and Charles.
All right, cool.
Thank you, guys.
And we will also put you down when we get to it, when we have our report, that you'll give us kind of a little synopsis after every meeting, please.
If I can translate, I will.
Okay.
So I want to tell you it's in the developmental stage, so don't expect something next month.
Gotcha. Kind of moving forward. And if you need it, to write up something, you know how to go to get. Okay, Bistrowski from the
APQC Leadership Training, the 24th, just as a reminder, if you'd please let Heidi know by the end of the week whether you can attend, we'll determine where we take a vehicle from here. It will location is going to be determined. It was supposed to be in at Sheridan One's central office, but I think that's going to change. And then all supervisors are scheduled for the 25th, and then the 26th they're on site here for a half a day. So this is systems, efficiencies, doing some different things. It's a collaborative piece with three districts, Sheridan One, Sheridan Three, and Johnson County. So.
And so when are we? When would you like us to go?
So the 24th, it's 5:30 to 7:30. And if I did my calendar invite correct this time, you should have got a calendar invite.
Yes, we did.
I promise not to change it.
See if I got a link for it.
Anyway, just let Heidi know. Those of you that want to drive over, that would be super great. I might drive myself over if it's limited, and then I can just go home from there. And instead of coming back here, but just a food for thought so we can get additional numbers.
Okay.
And if you're around on the 26th in the morning and would like just to stop in and listen, you're more than welcome, but that's the day they will be here.
Do you have a time for that?
What's the date?
8 o'clock.
So yours on the 24th, I think, is 5:30 to 7:30.
Right.
The next day, we all go over there, it's 8 to 4, and then when they're here on site, it's 8 to 11:30, if I hit that correctly.
Okay. So we'll let Heidi know as soon as you can.
Please. I would also like you to mark your calendars for August 17th. That is the kickoff at Buffalo High School. We have a guest speaker coming in, a presenter based on culture and some different things. With that, we have some other trainings, but that individual will also Pounding the Stone and some other books. So I think it's going to be a great kickoff with this presenter. He's going to work with admin, then he's going to work with student athletes, he's going to work with coaches. And then we're also going to have him do a community presentation that evening. So the August 17th is a pretty big deal, if you'd please mark your calendars. So morning is going to be 8 to noon. Afternoon or community presentation, I think, is 5:30 to 6:30. We're still working out some of those details. And like always, as board members, professional development is that Thursday, Friday, and Monday. If you're around and just want to stop in and see what's happening in the building, you are more than welcome.
So are you asking on the 17th for us to be there from 8 to 12?
I'm just marking your calendar if you can make it. I mean, just to let you know on the 17th. But the community event, they are presenting from 5:30 to 6:30, so I mean, if you're available then too. So it's just an FYI.
Okay, thank you.
And then I think the float is going to move forward. I'll talk with Heidi tomorrow. We'll get some applications, get that out, and get some things going. But if any of you as board members would like to walk or figure out how we're going to throw candy or ride on something on August 5th, intention right now is to definitely have a bus and maybe a flatbed, and maybe try to correlate that with the band that marches down the street, but have a little more presence as a school district in the as the World's Fair parade in Johnson County on Saturday morning, okay?
Okay. Anything else? The August work session? Give me the date.
On the 9th.
9th, and again, those are open. We welcome any and all people to those stakeholders. We'd love to have you here. Again, the only thing we do not do is public comment, and we do not vote on any action at that time. It's very informative. I've gotten a lot out of it in the last few months, and I appreciate it. August board meeting will be the 14th, and I would like to thank the board for... How many meetings did we have last month?
Four.
We had quite a few, and they were very, very long meetings. And I appreciate you all and all your hard work that you put in also for this budget. Connie, did you have something you want to say?
Yes.
I almost dropped the gavel, man. You're lucky.
So I don't know Robert's Rules of Order very well, but you have to read this resolution into the minutes. And I apologize. I completely forgot it. I got it finished and just put it to the side, and poof. So I don't know how to go back to that part of the.
To do what?
No, we have to read this in
2 minutes.
And I think it's going to be the public budget hearing, so we're going to have to reopen the public budget hearing.
Okay.
I am
and
so
then
sorry.
Read it, and then reclose it if I.
Okay.
Are you buying all that?
Yep.
All right.
We have a motion to re-enter the public budget hearing.
So moved.
Can you have a second, please?
Yeah, I'll second.
Okay, there's probably no discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
So now we are going to read the budget appropriation and levy resolution. Is that what we have to do? When I get down to the appropriations, do I need the funding as well?
Probably,
okay.
Yes.
All right, here we go. Whereas on the 10th day of July, 2023, the budget officer filed with the Board of Trustees of Johnson County School District 1 a budget message for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2024, and whereas a summary of each budget was entered into the board members, a notice of a public hearing on such budget together with said summary was published in the Buffalo Bulletin, a newspaper having a weekly circulation in the county in which the district is located, on the 6th day of July, posted in 3 conspicuous places. Whereas a public hearing was held concerning such budget on July 10, 2023 at 7 p.m., at which time all interested parties were given an opportunity to be heard. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Johnson County School District 1 that such budget, as revised, if applicable, is hereby adopted and subject to future amendment. It is in effect for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2023.
2024, sorry.
Okay.
Can you please strike that? 2020. I was wondering that. I was like, isn't that already over?
Yep.
Okay, 2024. Be it further resolved that the following appropriations are made as of and for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2024, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
2024.
Sorry.
And that those respective expenditures applicable to each department and fund shall be limited to the amounts hereby appropriated, subject to further amendments. Appropriations. 01, the general fund, $24,097,207. 20, special revenue, $8,414,133. 21, major maintenance, $4,283,534. 22, BOCES, excuse me, that should be BOCES, $250,000. 30, capital projects, $500,000. 31, special purpose, $500,000. 40, debit service, $17,850. 50, nutrition services, $804,300. 51, teacherage, $100,000. 52, tiny house, zero. 60, internal services, 500,000. Total appropriations, $39,467,087. Be it further resolved that after deducting all available cash and estimated revenues, the following amounts must be raised through general taxation, and that such levies as are required to provide such amounts are hereby authorized as of and for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2024. County and local resources, $17,527,494. Additional mills to be levied. Johnson County Recreation District, one mill, which is $510,857. Johnson County Bochees, half a mill, which is $255,429, for a total of $766,286. This will be dated the 10th day of July, 2023.
Thank you.
Do we have to come out again and come into regular board? Do I ask for any questions? Should we?
We need to vote to approve now.
No. Do we have to then go back through and approve?
No, I think you
would.
No, you approved it.
Mm-hmm. Represent,
yeah, it's so. Just read into the minutes.
Just read into the minutes. I understand.
I'm going to bring you a new one with the corrected dates on it, and I will bring those back to you.
May I have a motion to enter back into our regular board session?
Okay,
I have a so moved, and I have a second. Did you get it, Heidi?
Yes.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Do we have anything other business that we need to attend to? Okay. So at this time, I would like to. What's that?
Are we going to?
Oh, excuse me. No, I don't think we do. Do we have an executive session?
We do.
Oh, we do? I'm sorry. My fault. Yes. We'll take a. Do we go into executive session first? May I have a motion to go enter into executive session?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We are in. Take a break.